Hare Krishna Krishna Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare.
Okay, page 62. Okay. Everything rests on the potency of Lord Sri Krishna, and still the Lord is different from the and transcendental from all such identities. Because right? there's an identity or mood, how you make a decision. So then the identity of Krishna is that he is, you know, the he's interacting with his devotees based on affection.
Yes.
Right? So as Vishnu, then, I mean, in dealing with the material energy as Paramatma, still is Vishnu, but there it's I'm the controller, I'm the creator, maintainer, and destroyer.
Yes.
Right? Yes. So that identity is not Krishna's identity. Though, it's still Krishna. So when Krishna takes on this other identity, then he deals with the material world. Though even then, he still deals through the medium of Sadashiva. Right? That makes sense. Like that. So, yes.
Then what's his identity?
Whose identity?
Krishna's.
He reciprocates in loving pastimes with his devotees.
So it's Bhakti Vatsala.
Yes, like that. See, it's because what is means the Purusha avatars, they're creating, maintaining, destroying the material world. In actuality, is it being based on the affectionate exchanges with the living entities in the Mahatattva? No, so that's the difference. You know, it's just like the man goes to the office. What are the exchanges based on?
Business,
right? But at home? Yeah, it's affection. You understand? So it can be the same person, just different moods. So when we're saying about and Vishnu, he doesn't get involved. Because it's about dealing with the devotees. But the Purusha avatars, you have that aspect of Vishnu, but at the same time there's the aspect of Linga. So it has this it's different kind of flavor. So depending upon the flavor of the situation, because you see, Mahavishnu is very affectionately receiving Krishna and Arjuna when they come to visit.
Mm.
Right? And then the exchange that goes on there. So it's very nice. So it's just a matter of what mood is being manifest at the time, right? Same with the internal potency. Is it based on affection or is it based on just rules? So it's affection, it's yogamaya, it's rules, then it's mahamaya. Right? Not that you want to follow rules, but that the relationship is based on the rules. Is that some reason?
Does that mean that in Vaikuntha they're dealing with Mahamaya?
Vaikuntha they're dealing with Yogamaya. Because rules there is based on affection expressed through rules. In the material world there's no affection, so all that's left is the rules.
Okay.
Right? So in other words, you have affection, then you have rules and affection, then you have rules.
Yes.
So that's how it comes down. So in the material world it's rules. You follow the law, you get benefit. You don't follow the law, you've got problems. Right? Does that make sense? Yeah. See, the problem is that all these great personalities, they think I'm God, right? And so therefore, I will make it happen the way I want. What they forget about is the one who's managing the place hands-on is the energy, not God.
Yes.
So therefore, there's no question of they're going to be successful. You know what I'm saying? Upset a guy, you have problem. Upset a lady, more problem.
Yes.
Right? So therefore, in the material world, you don't follow the rules. Who are you upsetting? Yeah. Right? Because Krishna is detached.
Yeah.
Right? But why is the female upset? Because you're breaking Krishna's laws. So that's the whole thing. So it works out. It's still relationship between them. But with us, it's just cut and dry. But, you know, Maya takes us, cuts up, and hangs us up to dry.
You're hanging that thing. What happens?
And then after, then you drop in boiling water, right? You know, that's how you...
Or oil.
Oil can work, yeah. Depends on your karma, right?
Yes.
Oil's more expensive. In the Vedic Purusha Shukta of the Rig Mantra, this is also confirmed, 34. Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur explains, because the Supreme Lord is the possessor of the Maya Shakti, everything in this world is non-different from him. This confirms the meaning of the Purusha Shukta. The line starting Sahasra Shirsha and three verses starting with Brahmano Syam Mukhamasit in the Purusha Shukta were described in the previous chapter. Because Sahasra Shirsha means that he's expanded unlimitedly. Mahavishnu is expanded into all the universes. So that means Mahavishnu has unlimited heads, unlimited arms, unlimited hands. Right? Then we have within each universe, then for the creation, then the Mahat there in the primary creation takes on the form of you're going to enjoy all the unlimited ways to enjoy. And then the forms that will take that. So you just, you know, so you have unlimited on unlimited there. So that's that aspect. And then the next, the Brahmano Syama Kama Sid, the Brahmins, the Kshatriyas, they're all coming from the Lord. Everything there is describing then the creation within the primary creation within the universe. Mm-hmm. Right? The Brahmins represent his mouth, the Kshatriyas arms, the Vaishyas his thighs, and the Shudras are born of his legs. Now, Purusha Eve Dam Sarvam. The Lord is everything in the universe. So, because he makes that point, he is everything. Because otherwise, the tendency is, if we're working on ethics, is that things are bad in this world. There are bad things in the world. Well, there's good things, but there's bad things. So God can only be the good things.
Yes.
So therefore, the bad things can't be God. But I'm not controlling it. God's not controlling it. So you have to have a second controller.
Mm.
Right? I mean, the technical term is demiurge or something like that. Mm. So I'm not sure if that's how you say it, but yes.
So Maharaj, God can be bad. We can be bad. That means the other guy is bad.
Yes. The other guy said, yeah, you throw in that we can't be bad either.
Yeah, because then why put it on somebody else? If there is God and living entities, and if God... It's not bad.
So that
means coming from us.
Yeah. So there. Oh, okay. That's even a better point. You catch that? In other words, if I say I was saying that set that I was looking at just the world. God means the world has bad. God can't be bad. So God can't have control of that. Someone else has to control. But the real point of that is not because I'm really trying to save God. I'm trying to save myself, because if it's not God and there isn't another person, it's me. So therefore, God can't be bad, I can't be bad, so therefore there has to be a third party that's bad. Right? And if I'm bad, it's because he influenced me, because I'm not bad. I'm a good guy. Right? You know.
It's not like that.
Huh? Basically. The only problem is he doesn't... The third party doesn't offer that which you're not interested in, right? In other words, the person who's a smoker, you know, that third party will offer cigarettes, right?
Mm-hmm.
They don't offer alcohol because they don't care about that. You understand? But the person who's worried about alcohol, they'll offer that, not cigarettes. But they're only offering what you're interested in. That's the thing. But of course, they make available everything so you can see what's the range of, insanity. Okay. Okay. The Lord is everything. From the okay. Now Purusha Eve Dagdam Sarvam. From the Purusha Shukta is illustrated in 3.5 verses, 2:6, 13-16. After showing, means this is the Bhagavatam, after showing that the Supreme Lord is the cause of the material world, Brahma states that the Lord is beyond the material world and limits the material world. This world is covered by the Supreme Lord because he exists greater than this world. He remains, preceding it by 10 fingers. Dashangulam, he extends, means he is the universe itself. And then where the manifest universe stops, he extends beyond that 10 fingers. Right?
Just to prove the point.
Because if it's one finger, you might, well, maybe two fingers, yeah, you know, give or take, you know, but 10 fingers, oh, obviously he's bigger. Right? Is that?
Yes.
A finger is that. So 10 fingers means, you know, like that, plus two more on the top. So that's...
Human fingers. Hmm? Human fingers.
Whatever size you are, fingers.
Okay.
That's the thing. The Vedic measurement is the hand is then according to either the yajaman who's performing the sacrifice, the priest, you know, or the acharya, as you like. You can do, you know what I'm saying? If they want to make it more formal, the acharya. They just want to make it practical, then just the priest. They want to, you know, make the yajaman feel good, you use his, you know. But in other words, you'd only use if he's some special person or something. Otherwise, the priest would use.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
The yajaman means the one who's making the sacrifice.
The one who's sponsoring the sacrifice. Mm-hmm. You know, like the householder, he wants to do a sacrifice. So then he invites the Brahmins. Mm-hmm. So then generally it's the priest that's done. Now let's say the yajaman is the priest. You have a Brahmin, he's doing some scars, you know, for his kid. So therefore he uses his own hand. Right? But if he's inviting a priest, they'll use that. Now, if the yajna is bigger, it's so big that, like Bali Maharaj, you have an acharya. You have the four priests plus the acharya. Then that means then you would use the, what do you call it? The acharya's hand. Right? So whoever is the senior in the position. Is that?
Yes.
Okay. Oh, it's somewhere down the bottom. This is stated to express his superiority to the universe, not to express his dimension, since he cannot be measured. Being unlimited, this illustrates the Purusha Shukta line, Sabhumim Sarvata Srishtva Atyatishta Dashangulam. Touching the earth, universe, he extended himself beyond it by 10 fingers.
Why is this chapter called Purusha Shukta Confirmed? What's the meaning?
You would rather call it Earth Song Confirmed, or?
No, Confirmed, that's what.
Confirmed, okay. Because it's just a matter of that the Bhagavatam is showing, or it means how the basis of everything is the Purusha Shukta. Because if you're basing everything on the Veda, and the Veda is an expansion of Purusha Shukta, that means the whole Veda is an explanation of Purusha Shukta, technically. Right? So Bhagavatam is then explaining that. So one, in its position as explaining in connection with bhakti. So the Veda will explain it, bhakti is inherent, but one may not catch it. But the Bhagavatam's explanation means you'll catch the devotional element. Right? So then you're confirming that the Purushukta is right, not that bhakti is something separate and the Veda, you know, otherwise you might take, oh, the Veda, bhakti, Bhagavatam's higher than the Veda, we don't need the Veda. But Bhagavatam is just the perfect explanation of the Veda. So that's the element that makes it higher, is that it's explaining the actual devotional purpose of the Veda. That's the real point.
And earlier, it was just common knowledge.
Yes. But as formal respect among shastras, the Veda is always going to be the superior, right? It means, in other words, if all the personified Vedas are standing together, the Veda will be the senior. Like that. Does that make sense?
Yes, like that.
So like that you'll have. But it's still, the Bhagavatam is the highest because it's explaining the highest elements of the Veda. So it's revealing that. The Veda itself, it's there, but not necessarily being revealed. That's why Guru is therefore, in one sense, more important than God. Right? Because through Guru, you know God. But it's not that formally, then he's superior to God. And there's that pastime with, I think, Kuresh. He's a disciple of Ramanujacharya, one of the main. So they went to take darshan of Sri Ranga, right? So you have this, you know, the small door where the deity is. So then Kuresh is standing right next to the door, facing Ramanujacharya. And Ramanujacharya is, you know, facing the deity. And Ramanujacharya says, no, you have to turn around, the deity's over there. He says, no, he's your deity, you're my deity. So I am taking darshan, you know, something like that. So, like that.
So can we say that when we say these things, it's because it's relative to our lack of qualification?
Means which?
Bhagavatam is superior to the Vedas because we're not qualified.
No, because that's actually the heart of the Vedas. So because, in other words, you look at it, Bhagavatam's first. Then when it expands into the material world, then you have the Veda first and Bhagavatam later. Just like you have Kam Bija and Kam Gayatri first, and then last is Brahma Gayatri. Mm. But Brahma Gayatri is what comes through first, and then goes like that.
Okay.
You know, so you have that reverse. Mm. No, it is superior on that. But formally, it's just like, who's superior, Krishna or Nanda Baba? You understand? Yeah. But when they're at the house, who listens to who?
Yeah.
Right? Like that. So Krishna listens to Nanda Baba because he's his father, but Nanda Baba listens to Krishna because of affection.
Yeah.
So actually the element of affection is higher. So that's the point of a Chinta Veda Veda Tattva. You have to be able to accommodate that there's two seeming opposing elements functioning at once quite comfortably.
Yeah, that's the comfortably part is difficult.
Yeah, that's what we have to get used to. That's the whole, because you'll see is that if we're talking about this or that, generally it's quite easy. When it's both simultaneously and the opposing elements seem to contradict each other, that's where we have problems.
Yes.
Does that make sense? Like karma yoga, you can understand. Jnana yoga, dhyana yoga, but when they're functioning together, it becomes buddhi yoga, that's where it becomes difficult. Right? Or I'm performing the activities of varnashram's easy. In the spiritual world, frolicking with Krishna's easy. But I'm performing my varnashram duties to please Krishna in Braj. Now that I can't, it becomes, you understand? That's where the problem comes. That's why we analyze them separately, but we have to learn to be able to function with them together. So.
Yes.
Okay. This philosophical truth of simultaneous oneness and difference was propounded by Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and is known as Achinta Veda Veda Tattva. Brahma, Narada, and all others are simultaneously one with the Lord and different from the Supreme Lord. We are all one with Him, just as the gold ornaments are one in quality with the stock gold. But the individual gold ornament is never equal in quantity with the stock gold. The stock gold is never exhausted, even if there were innumerable ornaments emanating from the stock, because the stock is Purnam, complete. Even if Purnam is deducted from the Purnam, still the Supreme Purnam remains the same Purnam. So you can take the complete whole from the complete whole, and the whole complete whole remains. Therefore, Krishna can expand as Vishnu, which is complete whole himself, and still remain himself.
Yes.
And then you can do that again unlimitedly. So that's Krishna. He's different. Like that. And we're not like that. We're energy. And of energy, we're, you know, the smallest. But don't worry. If you have a whole group of adults and there's the small one, you know, who gets the center of attention? So we'll do okay. Don't worry. You don't have to find some, you know, how you say, transcendental whey powder to put on some, you know. Yeah, I'm not the 2/10,000 is the tip of the hair. Yeah. Yeah. No, you don't have to do that, you know. Okay. This fact is inconceivable to our present imperfect senses, right? By the Lord's mercy, what that can be revealed, we can appreciate that. But if he doesn't reveal that, we won't know it. We won't understand it.
Right? Yes.
Lord Chaitanya therefore defined his theory of philosophy as achintya, inconceivable, and as confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita as well as in the Bhagavatam. Lord Chaitanya's theory of achintya veda veda tattva is the perfect philosophy of the absolute truth. 2.6.13-16 purport. Right, but because you can take things from, now when these others expand, you can take the complete, just like Balaram is complete, right? Mm-hmm. Like that. But there's manifest of less, mm-hmm, of the power of this and that, but he's complete. He could, just like we see, is that Vishnu can play the flute, he just doesn't. Yeah. You know, Nrisingadev could, but he doesn't. Ramachandra could, but he doesn't. Right? Because otherwise, if you want to play the flute, why you'd play, you know, you got long nails, right? It's a problem. You know, where are those nails going to go? You know, so you got to kind of play the flute like this, you know? Or you got to use a pan pipe, then you don't have a problem with the nails. You know, cool.
Yeah.
Yeah? Okay.
Maybe given this some thought.
Maybe that's how recorders came into it, too. How you say, yeah. Popularity, yeah, yeah. Was, you know. It's actually, they think it's European, but it was Oriental because they had those long nails, and so they couldn't play, so then they move like that. And then that'd be, yeah, okay. You know, along with the pasta, they picked up the recorders, right?
Sure.
No?
I think you're right.
Yeah, okay. As Srila Prabhupada states in his purport, to these verses, right? So therefore you can have these philosophies of Ramanuja, Madhva, Nimbarka, and Vishnuswami. They're complete, they're perfect. At the same time as the Achintya Bheda Bheda Tattva is, how does he put it, points it here? Is the perfect philosophy. It means it's the more perfect, most perfect.
So can we compare Krishna and Vishnu to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Nimbadicha? I mean, that
means in one sense you can, but in another sense we don't. It's just like positions we don't use. Yeah. Means it's not that we can't discuss it. It's just that you have to get into so much background to actually be able to appreciate in the right context.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So therefore, we have to be careful. What's the situation? Right? Yeah. As Srila Prabhupada states in his purport to these verses, the form of the Lord addressed here is that of Paramatma, Kiradakshay Vishnu, the aspect of Aniruddha in the Vaikuntha Chaturvyuha. Quote, Brahma next glorifies the supremacy of the Lord and his realm by comparing him to the sun. Right? So why Kiradakshay Vishnu?
Why Aniruddha?
Why not Aniruddha?
Why Kiradakshay Vishnu?
Why?
The Kiradakshay Vishnu and Aniruddha are the same.
Oh, that's
you understand? So Mahavishnu is Sankarshan, Garbhadakshay Vishnu is Prajumna, Kiradakshay Vishnu is Aniruddha. And so then Krishna comes in that environment and performs his pastimes, his Vasudeva. So that's why it always refers to Vasudeva, and then these other, because you're still always going to be dealing with the Chaturvyuha. Does that make sense? Yeah.
Kiradakshay Vishnu because Lord Brahma's explaining it for our benefit and we have to start from here and then go up.
It means that, but you could say that, but it's also is that what's the point of having accepted that mood of linga? Right? Unless you're going to actually affect the creation, and so the creation's been affected when you have Paramatma as Kiradakshay Vishnu. Because Paramatma as Mahavishnu, then you have the Lord of Mahat. But then you have to. Then you need universes to manifest that, right? Why universes, right? There's a name of Maya Devi that specifically reveals the need of the universes.
Durga.
Durga means, you know, in other words, the prison. Because otherwise, if you had these free-ranging souls, you know, they're going to do something beyond what you want them to do. Does that make sense?
Yes.
So therefore, you pack them up in the universe, and then there's not a problem. And you see is that to keep them from coming out, the volume of matter needed outside the workable inside is very great.
High security.
Yes, very high security. Yeah, there's no more high security than that, right? And even if they do get past that somehow or another, then there's the tridents around Goloka, right? But they could go to Vaikuntha, technically, because they could go see the Lord. But they can't get into Goloka. Goloka has the tridents. That's why when it's like Kamsa, he, you know, all his demons are coming to Vrindavan, and they're all disappearing or dead. Right? So then he thinks, what's going on there? I have to see this myself. So he goes there himself. And you know that in the Parikram path, then there is, you know, the place where Vyasadeva's seat is, where he wrote 10th Canto.
Yeah.
You know, so in other words, if you turn right, then you go past that. If you don't turn right, you were busy talking, you end up in Mathura, right? You know, so he turned right. So at that point, that's considered, you know, the Vrindavan area. So then he's coming down, he's on this chariot, and then he comes there. And as soon as he comes, then Yogamaya spies him and grabs him. And then all the, you know, the gopis are there, they're doing stuff, you know, washing pots or that. There's a little pond there. She grabs him, dumps him in the pukkha and pulls him out, and now he's a gopi. Right? You know, so he says, okay, now work, wash pots and everything like this. And he gets very distressed, right? You know, Kamsa, you know, the lord of the world and this and that. And now he's this little maidservant that's, you know, some old lady's telling him what to do, and there's nothing that he can do about it. So then after some time, then, you know, a compromise is worked out. Okay, we'll turn you back into Kamsa. You leave, you never come back. Right? You know, does he ever wonder why Kamsa never came to Vrindavan? This is why. Okay, you know. You know, you don't mess with Yogamaya. Right? So, therefore.
That's good.
Okay. Brahma next, okay. Thus the Lord maintains everything, both internally and externally, by his immeasurable glories. Right, so outside the world, inside, it means in the Tripadabhuti, in the Ekapadabhuti, he's doing this. Within the Mahat, outside the universes, inside the universes, and then within you have the subtle, you have the gross there. You know, so all these aspects he's dealing, he's everything. Like that. He controls immortality and fearlessness. And he is transcendental to death and fruit of actions of the material world. It is therefore difficult, Duratyaya, to measure the glories of the Supreme Person, 17-18. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur compares verse 18 to Purushasukta. The Supreme Lord is the Lord of bliss, the enjoyer and giver of enjoyment. Right? So therefore, you have the Vishayi first. Then you have the working principle. Then you have the actually getting done. So we see that there. Krishna is the Vishayi. Then Balaram's the expansion of the potential to make it happen. Then he expands and gets it done. Right? There's Krishna. He's going to enjoy the pastime with the devotees. But he doesn't do that, arrange that himself. Balaram arranges it. Right? So how does Balaram arrange it? But through his energies that you actually then see it. Right? So then within the universe, you have Hiranyagarbha, the enjoying principle. Then you have Vairaja, which is then the gross form of the subtle. Right?
Yes.
Then you have, you know, which means it's going to deal with that. Then you have the Lord Brahma. You understand?
Yes.
So the same formulas always work.
Yes.
Does that make sense? Or you have Mahavishnu, then Garbhodakshaya. You know, who is the, you know, the subtlest is, or the point of that living entity wants to enjoy separately from the Lord. That's with Mahavishnu. Then the potencies on which the enjoyment will be based is Garbhodakshaya. Then Kirudakshaya is managing those things that they enjoy.
Yes.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
Yeah. So you always have these levels.
Yes.
Or you have Vrindavan, Braj, Mathura, Dwarka. You're always having these changing of these flavors. The Supreme Lord is the Lord of bliss, the enjoyer and giver of enjoyment. So he's, as the Lord of bliss means, he's the Lord, Radharani is bliss personified, so he's the Lord of bliss. The nectar of swarga is excluded from the meaning by saying that the amrita is devoid of fear of samsara, abhayasya. Right? Why is he the Lord of amrita? He surpasses material happiness, which ends in death, martyam anam. Because right? the residents of the heavenly planets, they're worried about amrita. I mean, this longevity. Right? Therefore, the fight over the pot. Right? And so then the point is they're fighting over this pot, but it's only by qualification that you get. And then, even then, how long do you live? It's a long time, but it's still not that long. There is no one that lives forever. So even if you get to Satyaloka, trying to find the fan. So even you live as long as Brahma. You know, Brahma dies, and when he dies, the universe is finished. So it's not that he dies, the universe is finished. The universe is finished, and he dies. Right? In other words, the soul of the universe, the soul leaves the body, then you die. Not that the body became a problem, and then the soul left. No, so when the soul leaves, it means as long as the soul stays there. It means, let's say you have a bad accident. Right? You have cases where someone has a bad accident, and somehow or another, despite all things, they live. Someone else, they have the bad accident and they're dead on arrival. The same accident. What's the difference? So it wasn't technically the body. I mean, I was reading this, there was a science article. And, you know, when they first came out with all this, I don't know, CAT scans or whatever, things that could deal with the brain to get the laser. But, and they did this one guy was getting sometimes headaches and stuff. They did a thing, and that somehow the fluid in his you know, the, what is it called? Cerebral
cranium.
The cranium there was so great that it had taken his brain and flattened it against his skull. So actually it was just water inside, or liquid. And then this thin layer of brain. But it wasn't. It wasn't like. But the point is he was fine. He was functioning. Everything's going nested. Other people, you just get a little something, and they're finished, right? Or I think there was this article where this guy, they were out, hunting with crossbows, and somehow or another, you know, by friendly fire, he got one straight through his head. And he was still alive. They just had to cut the point on and pull it out. And he was fine. You know what I'm saying? So the point is we'll say, no, when the body is not functioning, then the soul leaves. No, it's when the soul leaves, that's when the body dies. Death is when the soul leaves, not when the body can't function. Like that. So according to karma, then you will remain however long you're supposed to. Right?
I saw one beggar in Mumbai. He was missing the body from here and down. And I was thinking, how does that work? You know, what's left? But the soul was still there.
He was there, yeah. Yeah. Therefore, you can see the head's there and the two feet.
He was in a little cart with wheels, and it was basically just shoulders and a head in the cart. It looked quite interesting.
Yes, wheels, are you saying? At this point, we'll thank you for that visual.
Free of charge.
Yes, and we will. Point has been noted, and we will now move on. We will not be taking any more bizarre examples.
Yes. I was trying to help.
Yeah, yeah. No, I'm just saying, you also have like those brains and Dune, right? Like that. So you know, it works. It works. You know. The nectar of swarga is excluded from the meaning of saying that the amrita is devoid of fear of samskara. Okay, why is he Lord of amrita? He surpasses material happiness, which ends in death. So he's the Lord, right? Indra thinks he's the Lord of amrita, but Indra dies, so he's not really the Lord of amrita. Because when he dies, amrita will remain. So where does the power of amrita come from? Because to be the Lord of something means you actually have to be the power of it. That's the difficulty with the Jiva thinking he's the Lord of the world or the Lord of all these surveys, because he's not the one that actually maintains it. Right? The guy says, you know, he's the Lord. That means it's like this. After Napoleon, here's the question. Was there France after Napoleon?
Yes.
You know. So I'm sure it depends who you ask, yes. But you know, but the basic principle is yes, it's there. That's Bhumi Devi's point. She's chuckling at all these individuals who think that they're the Lord of the world and fighting and moving with their troops and you know, overrunning this one and overrunning that one, and then you know, claiming to be the lords. Mm.
That's where chauvinism comes from. He was a supporter of Napoleon, who wouldn't accept Napoleon's defeat and the continuation of reality afterwards. So that's what chauvinism actually is. He was called Chauvin.
Chauvin?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, so chauvinism means going on as if he's just going to walk through the door.
Yeah, even if your point has been defeated, you just keep pushing it, you know, because you just don't want to.
You keep pushing it, or you keep going on as if it's like that?
Yeah, he went on as if it.
Oh, okay.
That's how I understood that. Okay.
So it's an element of illusion.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. What was his name? Chauvin.
Chauvin. Yeah.
Chauvin. Oh, so Chauvinism.
Chauvinism.
Huh? Oh, okay. Okay, cool. That one was better.
Thank you. I didn't know if I should say it because I was already on a losing
streak. That was better. You know, in other words, it adds to the understanding rather than the sum score.
Yes. Yeah. I get it.
Okay. That's the whole point. He surpasses material, happiness which ends in death, martyam anam. This verse explains that the Purusha Shukta verse, utamritatvasyesana sano yadanena tirohati. He is the master of Amrita, who surpasses material enjoyment. He's Utam above Amrita. The reason is given. The glory of the Supreme Lord is unlimited, Duratyaya. This explains the meaning of the Purusha Shukta line, Etavan asya mahimato jaya. It's like I know it in its original.
Yeah, when you're reading it. It's
yeah. Etavan asya mahima ato jaya gals chapurushaha.
Better.
Okay. Such are the powers of the Supreme Person. Right? So the Lord, he's what's behind, because we tend to not see what's behind. Right? Like there's a man is, I'm the Lord of everything. I'm controlling, but he's not actually making it happen. He's not actually controlling everything. He has an influence in that he's involved as an instrument, but actually he can only be involved in an instrument because he's not making the laws that make it work. Right? The material energy transforms. Why? Because of our laws? Does that make sense? You know, it's just like, let us say, there's been too many people falling off of buildings, right? So therefore it comes up in Parliament. Parliament decides that we should reduce the strength of gravity, you know, more like the moon's. So therefore then people, then they won't get hurt or injured when they fall, you know, down. You have to have enough, otherwise they'll disappear. But at the same time, this will also help in relieving congestion. It will, it'll be more of a green effort because now we'll need less, because now people can jump farther and get to work quicker just by walking. You know, so therefore, you know, so many benefits will get there, right? Isn't that how it works?
Sounds like a good idea.
Let's make an amendment.
Okay. Yeah. The point is it doesn't work like that. Why? God makes the laws. He's the Lord. We can only be instruments in applying it.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And then the point is this, we apply it badly, then it was because of that third party who influenced.
Right there. You know.
Or the famous, what was it? I was just following orders.
Yes, the good German.
Yeah, I can't say it in the proper accent, but right there. Okay. The next two verses, 9:20. Describe the difference between the material and spiritual world. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is to be known as the supreme reservoir of all material opulences by the one-fourth of his energy in which all the living entities exist.
Right, all the material entities exist.
So that's
yes, or the, what is
uni-quadrantal.
It? Uni-quadrantal, yes.
So now we have the one-fourth of his energy, the ekapada vibhuti,
yes,
or the uni-quadrantal.
Yes.
Yes. So now we have three new synonyms. Right? Okay.
Very good words.
Yes. Okay. Deathlessness, fearlessness, and freedom from the anxieties of old age and disease exist in the kingdom of God, which is beyond the three higher planetary systems, right? Burbu Viswa, which means everything in the material world. So every universe is the same. It may be bigger, or, you know, as ours, smaller, right? But it's always the same. It's the same thing, the same, you know, you go from one universe to the next, you'll see the same stuff. You're not going to see anything different, right? Right. Okay, so therefore you say the three worlds, you mean material existence. Okay, the spiritual world. Okay. Okay, beyond the higher planetary systems and beyond the material coverings. The spiritual world, which consists of three-fourths of the Lord's energy, is situated beyond this material world, and it is especially meant for those who will never be reborn. Others who are attached to family life, and who do not strictly follow celibacy vows. Didn't we just read this?
Yeah, yesterday. We did it yesterday.
We read everything, or just this particular quote?
This particular part was somewhere else.
It was quoted somewhere else?
Yes, yes.
Okay, yeah, because I was just thinking, wait a minute.
Nice point to repeat.
Yeah, yeah, to repeat, right? Okay. Okay. Others who are attached to family life and who do not strictly follow celibacy vows must live within the three worlds. Right? So in other words, who are attached to family life, it doesn't mean being in family life, it means being attached to. Right? So because do not strictly follow celibacy vows, the grihastha follows properly within the grihastha ashram, avoids illicit sex, that is grihastha brahmachari.
Yes.
Right? So that's the point. So, yeah. That's, or the, how you say, brahmachari who's not following brahmacharya. Mm-hmm. Either one, then, you know, taking birth here, that's the natural thing. Because otherwise, how do you fulfill such desires?
Here,
right? Because there's no such thing as illicit sex there.
Yes.
Right? Means you never hear of any problems in Vaikuntha. You know, someone saying, you know, hey, you know, I've been hanging out with my wife since time immemorial. Hey, you want to switch here? You know, you don't hear of that. It doesn't. It's not a problem. You know, and we already discussed parakīya rasa, right? So it's actually just Krishna interacting with his internal potency in a way that creates that, generates that freshness. Is that so? Yeah. Okay. Yes, okay, 19 through 20, yes. In his purport to verse 19, Srila Prabhupada explains that deathlessness, fearlessness, and freedom from the anxieties of old age and disease are manifestations of Sandini, Samvit, and Landini energies of the Lord. Out of the total manifestations of the Sandini energy of the Lord, one-fourth is displayed in the material world, right? Because Sandini is the arrangement. It's the existence. So one quarter of existence is in the material world. And one quarter, three quarters is the spiritual world.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Can we say that Sandini is the potency that associates with Sankarsan?
Yes. Like that. Because that it's from this, Sandini is where you get your element of Sankarsan and then the element of Yoga Maya and Sadashiva. You know, Mahamaya, all these different aspects. So there's a transformation there, like that. So there is, the mechanics function the same, but because of the illusion, you don't get the same effect. You know, it's just like, let's say I go into the kitchen, or let's say that. Okay, the girl having been, spent time in the kitchen with the mom, then with her friends goes out into the backyard.
Okay? Now what's happening in the backyard? They have pots, they're cooking, they're doing all kinds of nice things, you know, strawberry kitchery, you know, very popular one.
Yes.
You know. So then, you know, and you know, they got plates, they're all eating and everything like that. So the technique is the same. What's the difference?
The outcome.
The effect, right? You know, you still got to go back into the kitchen if you're hungry.
Yes.
You know, you have fun, that's the other one. So the material world is for having fun. You want to satisfy the soul, you have to go to the spiritual world.
Yes.
Is that
yes.
So that the Sundini deals with that. So there's an illusion there. The other ones then become, you know, basically inverted. Means the knowledge potency becomes knowledge of how the material world functions. Means how to make it function in illusion.
Yes.
Yeah. Not means the knowledge of how it functions in relation to the Lord, that's transcendental knowledge.
Yes.
Right? But how that I do this, if I know this, work with this, do this, I get this result, that's the material knowledge. That's the mode of goodness. Right? So that's the jnana shakti.
Yes.
But it's not about the transcendental. That's pure goodness. That's the knowledge of the spiritual world. That's the chit potency. Right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Yes.
Okay. The Lord's energy is divided into three component parts. Right, so energy is one thing, is component part. Namely, Sandini, Samvit, and Ladini. In other words, he is the full manifestation of existence, knowledge, and bliss. In the material world, such a sense of existence, knowledge, and pleasure is meagerly exhibited, and all the living entities, who are minute parts and parcels of the Lord, are eligible to relish such consciousness of existence. Right? They're eligible because they're parts and parcel of the Lord. But the manifestation that they're able to manifest, it means have such consciousness in it, is very meager, very small. Right? It's not big. Right? Okay. In the material world, such a sense of existence, knowledge, and pleasure is meagerly exhibited, and all living entities who are minute parcels of the parts and parcels of the Lord are eligible to relish such consciousness of existence, knowledge, and bliss very minutely in the liberated state, whereas in the conditioned state of material existence, they can hardly appreciate what is the factual, existential, cognizable, and pure happiness of life. So they can't even really tell that.
No. Yeah.
You know, so
yeah.
People even they get into the existential, but they don't really understand. Like, because it's just something to think about. It's, you know, they apply it here and there, but it's not an encompassing philosophy. You know, it's just another way to try to eke out some happiness. The liberated souls who exist in far greater numerical strength than those souls in the material world can factually experience the potency of the above-mentioned Sandini, Samvit, and Ladini energies of the Lord in the matter of deathlessness, fearlessness, and freedom from old age and disease. Does that make sense?
So, Samvit can be compared to Prajnana?
Samvit. No, Prajumna is within Sandini. Sandini has Sankarshana and Prajumna.
Okay, yeah.
You know, on that level, then Samvit will be Vasudeva and at the same time Ladini, from that kind of angle. But from the other angle, then you would take is Samvit would be Balaram, Ladini would Radharani, and Sandini is Krishna, because he's the basis of the others.
Okay.
You know. So it just depends on the perspective you're doing because they move, right? Means the Ladini is the knowledge, but at the same time, it's when it comes to the material world, it shifts to the other side.
Mm-hmm.
Because then you're dealing with Purusha Shakti.
Right.
So Purusha Shakti takes on the masculine. It's aggressive.
Mm.
Like that sort of shift to the other side. So then knowledge comes there. Then you also have Prajumna as the Lord of intelligence.
But the knowledge that's being applied is then in Abhideya, right? But it means that that's the aspect that you're using there. The inspiration of using the senses, the knowledge that has been gained from that, and the goal, then that is Vasudeva. Does that make sense? So you see what you're dealing with, what's the goal there, and then you can put it together which ones you're working with. You know what I mean? In other words, how it's constituted. Right?
Can we say that their manifestation in the material world is an illusion, existence, knowledge, and pleasure?
Basically, that's why Prabhupada opens them with the factual. They can't even tell what's a fact or not a fact. Then existential, they don't actually know what existence is. And plus, because there's death, right? And and therefore fear, then how do you appreciate the existential? Right? So it's actually the existentialism you're dealing with, the temporariness. You're not actually dealing with permanence. So it's not really cognizable. They don't really have knowledge. Right? Because fearlessness, if you have the proper knowledge and relationship, then you don't have that. And happiness, you don't have. You know, because it gets in the way. Disease gets in the way. Old age gets in the way. All these things get in the way. So you don't get it. So these have been perfectly combined into death, fear, and old age and disease. Yeah. Interesting if you put it another way, then that means fear comes from birth. If you're not born, you're not fearful. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur shows the connection between verses 19 and 20 and the hymns from the Purusha Shukta. Verse 19 explains the Purusha Shukta phrases padosya. Padosya Vishwa Bhutani Triparas Yamritam Divi. I fight it. Otherwise I can't read it. The living entities of the universe are one quarter, and in the spiritual world, of three parts of everything is eternal. Padosya, the place and the living entities are linked with a kapola verb because of non-difference between the place and the person residing. Tripadasya is the singular to express the whole. In the spiritual place, Divi, there is eternally situated in his place of three vibhutis. Right. So then you're using the one. That means, okay. Okay. So you have the non-difference between the place and the person residing. So therefore the Lord and his Dham are non-different. Right? Or you could say the living entity is an illusion and therefore the presentation around him is illusory. Right? And then tripadasya is as singular. So it's not that there's three parts, it's one part, the three, because you're saying three-fourths. Yeah. Right? Verse 20 explains the Purusha Shukta line, Tripad Urdva Udai Purushaha Pado Osyeha Bhavat Punaha. The three quarters portion of the Lord transcended the material portion. The Lord in the one quarter portion manifests the universe again as he had done repeatedly before. That means there is a beginning and end. Right? So then we're dealing with Mahavishnu. So he's creating it and then destroying it. Right? The Smriti also says, the spiritual worlds are unlimited in number. They are all Shuddha Sattva, filled with spiritual bliss, eternal, without change, and devoid of low passions. They are pure gold, shining like millions of suns, personifying Vedic knowledge, filled with pastimes, and devoid of lust and anger. These places exclusively serve the lotus feet of Narayana, and are always blissfully singing verses. They are the essence of the Vedas, embodying the five Upanishads. Okay, so everything is there. They're the perfection. So everything's going on very nicely. So here, lust and anger. Lust, so why lust and anger? Lust is the drive why you want something, and anger is what comes when you don't get it, which will happen. At some point, you won't get it.
Yes.
Right? If you have the karma, you'll get for some time. At some point, that will be lost. Right? That's just karma.
Yes.
So only through bhakti, these things remain. So the spiritual world, that remains. The material world is always lost. Therefore, what goes on here is based on lust and anger. Right? And then if you... And other synonyms for lust and anger?
Greed and envy.
Greed and envy. Yes. Right? Or, as we discussed yesterday, I and mine. So that's the Purusha Bhav. So that's the whole thing, is that Purusha Bhav, then that's what makes this world work. So that's what's here. So the spiritual world doesn't have that. That's why it functions the way it does. There is no Purusha Bhav. The word tripad vibhuti means the spiritual world, and pada vibhuti means the material world. The Sandarbha quotes Padma Puran in this regard. Right? So ekapada or just pada. This pada just means one. Okay. The Sandarbha quotes the Padma Puran in this regard. The spiritual realm is spread over three parts. Oh, that's what Prabhupada did. This is who? This is Vishwanath. Yeah, because then Prabhupada would sometimes say the Upanishad says. He doesn't mention about the... Because the Upanishad means you have the literature Upanishad. Then there's the divisions of the Upanishads, bringing out different aspects. Like you have Purana, then you have the specific Puranas. So here he's using the Sandarbha. Because I thought it was a unique expression that Prabhupada would use that. Or we'll say the Veda says. Right? Yeah. So then it's like that. So
usually,
then it's coming from the Acharya.
Like
in English, you would say, you wouldn't necessarily use it as a group. You would say, this group, Sandarbha. Ah, yes, our branch fell off.
Yeah.
On the branch.
Yeah.
Isn't it? Stanza that always falls off during the class.
Yeah, yeah.
Though the other day one fell off, then it wasn't last time. Oh, that was because it was festival. We weren't running the classes. No, we were running classes. No, we weren't running the classes.
Not for 2 weeks behind.
Yeah. So then, yeah. So then during that time.
So usually, if you say specifically,
generally, that's in the more colloquial. But here, this is a more, you know, a more classic way of using it. So classic's good. It lasts. It adds some dignity to the discussion. Okay. The spiritual realm is spread over three parts. One part is this world. The three parts, spiritual world, is eternal. The power of one part is temporary. The eternal form of the Supreme Lord is situated in that glorious place. That form of the Lord is undecaying, eternal, full of pastimes, eternally young, eternally enjoying, and surrounded by Sri, Bhumi, and Ishwari.
Right.
So here is Sri, Bhu, and Nila. So here's interesting because she's also Leela, but then in here she's called Ishwari. Right? Because Ishwari, she's the one that controls the pastime, arranges it. So that's the idea. When you read, then you come across all these different perspectives. So the vichar is there. Then when it broadens one's understanding of it, one's appreciation of it. In his purport to verse 20, Srila Prabhupada emphasizes that in order to attain the blissful spiritual world, one must become detached from sex life. The climax of the system of Varnashram Dharma, or Sanatana Dharma, is clearly expressed here in this particular verse of Srimad Bhagavatam. The highest benefit that can be awarded to a human being is to train her to be detached from sex life, particularly because it is only due to sex indulgence that the conditioned life of material existence continues birth after birth. Human civilization in which there is no control of sex life is a fourth-class civilization, because in such an atmosphere there is no liberation of the soul encaged in the material body. Birth, death, old age, and disease are related to the material body, and they have nothing to do with the spirit soul. But as long as the bodily attachment for sensual enjoyment is encouraged, the individual spirit soul is forced to continue the repetition of birth and death on account of the material body, which is compared to garments subjected to the law of deterioration.
Because the thing is that the sexual indulgence, the element of it is that it, the basis is sense gratification. Right? So that's the problem, is that then you're looking at the Lord's energy as something that can be enjoyed, separate from the Lord. Does that make sense?
Yes.
So, okay. Detached from sex life. So the point is it doesn't mean that sex life is not happening. Like the Prajapatis, they're having sex, they're producing children for the universe. But why are they considered within the Satyaloka system?
They're only attached to pleasing the Lord.
Yeah, because it's duty. So there's a household, is that because that's how you have children. Right? Does that make sense? Or the element of emotional expression. But the problem is it's always based on sense gratification. Hmm. It's not about actually pleasing the other person. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
That's the difficulty. So, therefore, because it's all-encompassing, because it covers all the five senses, right? And the intensity is the greatest, therefore it becomes the basis for staying in the material world. Right? That's why the point of performance of duties, being situated in knowledge to perform your duties, it will include everything that one's doing. But it's from a position that will allow one to become freed from material entanglement. That's the difference.
Yes.
Does that make sense? Because yes. Otherwise, then what happens is one has to remain. Because that's only available here. In the spiritual world, that's not the focus. No one's interested in that. It's relationships are the focus. And relationships connected to the Lord.
Yes.
Right? So that's the... Yes.
So why in Vaikuntha, there's couples also, husband and wife.
That's the problem?
And what's the principle of the underlying?
Because you're dealing in a grihastha society, that's when all facilities are there. A bunch of ascetics, you know, with matted locks sitting there in their copan underneath a tree with nothing. How much can you generate for nice things for the Lord? Mm. Not that the Lord doesn't come as Narayan Rishi to taste that. But the point is in Grihastha society that you have all the facilities for serving the senses of the Lord. You understand? In other words, why does the question come up? Because the question comes up because the concept of the material world is there'll only be a couple if there's sex. There's no sex, why would there be a couple? So that means the element of relationship, that is what is avoided. That's what's missed. No, couple means relationship. Does that make sense? Sexual interaction, that's how do you say? What was the words we were using before? Constituent, or you know, it's an element of relationship of a couple. It's not the basis of a couple. That's why the modern families don't last very long. Because if you take sex as the basis, how long does that go? You know what I'm saying? It's just like, let's say, what's his name? Casanova, right? He's famous in this field. But is he known for staying with anybody? You don't know who Casanova is?
No, we know.
You know, I'm just saying him.
He's famous.
Yeah,
he's famous. That part of the world remains.
Yeah, either that or they have their own Casanova. Does that make sense?
If we take the element of sex from the relationship, I mean, then what left?
What left? Okay.
not so pure.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's because of that perspective. Okay, let us say, okay, we'll go back. I mentioned before. Once I was, you know, going around and, you know, you're collecting money for, you know, the month's worth of newspapers, okay? And so then there's this old couple. They were probably like 80, right? You know, active, but, you know, they weren't invalid, but they were 80. And you generally would just see them sitting in their rocking chairs out on the front, you know, watching the street. They had a big street. They had a boulevard, actually, in front of their house. You know. So then I asked, so what is there? It means your husband and wife, what is there? You know, now that you're 80. You know? And the old man, he says, well, romance, that disappears long before. He says, so what maintains is companionship. Mm-hmm. Right? So there's a good chance that they're 80. They were married in their 20s, if not earlier. You know what I'm saying? So they've been together at least probably 60 years. So they're saying it's companionship that's the main thing. So that's the essential point. If you don't have companionship, you don't have a lasting marriage. You cannot. If people are so set on duties and everything, then maybe they can make it work the whole lifetime. But generally it'll only last until the kids are grown up and move out of the house. You know, or they get married. Then they file for divorce. Though they would have filed for a divorce, you know, 10, 15 years before. But out of duty, they won't do that to mess up the kid, right? Because they figure once he's married, he can handle it. But, you know, while he's still in school, you don't want to cause any anxiety. But those are very dutiful, kind of old school families. Mm. You know what I'm saying? So that means if you don't have companionship, what's going to make it last? In other words, you like the person, they like you as a person. You can sit together, you can talk together, you can do things together, you can just be in the same room and not have to interact, and you're fine. That's the basis of couple. You know what I'm saying? Sexual relation is one aspect of all that.
So it's more like a friendship?
No, it's more like companionship. It's got an intimacy in the depth that friendship doesn't have. It includes friendship. Conjugal rasa, it includes conjugal, it includes parental, it includes friendship, it includes servitorship, and it includes ashanta, or appreciation. Because you appreciate the person, therefore you don't mind serving. Therefore you're good friends. Therefore when they have a problem, you take care of them. Therefore there's that conjugal intimacy. It has all those five levels, it has all this. So therefore in Vaikuntha, husband and wife fly around in their airplanes talking about Vishnu. You know, you have someone to talk about Vishnu with all the time. You don't have to go out. Mm-hmm. You can talk in your house. Yes?
Can that companionship be between the same sex, or it has to be like with the opposite sex?
I mean, our context was couples as conjugal rasa.
No, I just mean like...
You know what I'm saying? So if you want to get contemporary on this, then yes, it would have to still be companionship. I said companionship would have to be the basis for any kind of couples that you want to put, any kind of the 56 varieties of arrangements you want to make and have couples. That context didn't work. Okay, Facebook means it's just like before. It was just you know, like when you fill out the visa form or the, you know, landing form or immigration form. It has in there male or female, right? So on Facebook, then there is 56 different options like that. So the point is whatever your concept of couple is, if companionship's there, it's not going to last as a relationship. That's the basis. If that's not there, if you don't like being with the person, then sex isn't enough, because at some point you can find someone else to have sex with. So why this person that you don't like anyway?
How can a celibate remain celibate? Because many people, they want to this intimacy with somebody, that, you know, we are always together, we do things together, we speak together.
Yeah, but then, you have Krishna in the heart, so super soul, you have super soul to go around with and be with. Anybody can do that, but that's specifically recommended for them. So you hang out with super soul. The point is, you can tell him anything and he doesn't freak out, right? You know, other friends, you never know if you can really actually reveal everything.
That's very advanced.
Yeah, but it's recommended.
That's why it's recommended.
It's like that. The other thing is that what is here? The point is the companionship means you're basing it on, so you have the physical companionship, that's what Prabhu's mentioning, is that without that, what's the meaning? Then there's the emotional, which I was talking about. But then there's the platform of the soul. So therefore, living entities can hang out just because they're serving Krishna together. You know what I'm saying? So therefore, even the Vaishnava couple, it eventually comes up to that platform, that the two living entities that one is serve Krishna, you know, the same kind of commitment or an understanding, you know, one is more or less, but at the same time, it's their conditioning matches, so it's easy to work together. But it's understood as the soul that is the relationship's there, but it's through the medium of the conditioning rather than the conditioning is the message here. Does that make sense? Anyone else got it? Or basically. So in other words, whatever the position, even the couple who is basing their relationship on the physical, at some point, that if they wanted to maintain as a relationship, have to be able to shift it to the emotional. And if they want that to be able to last still further beyond that, they have to be able to shift it to the spiritual. So in other words, the spiritual is the basis. That's why it says here, detachment from sex life. It doesn't say not engaged in sex life. It says detachment from. Because it's the detachment from. So even the celibate, it's not that they're not doing it that qualifies, it's that they become detached from it. So in other words, you're taking a position of being involved in it or a position of not being involved in it. And either one of those you're using as the medium to become detached from it. That's the whole point. Because you have to become detached. Because, I mean, otherwise, how can you be attached to it? Because what sex means is sex with what? What's having sex? The souls aren't having sex. The bodies are having sex. The conditioned natures are having sex. Technically, any body can have sex with the other body, but the conditioning is then what you look at. So you're matching conditioning. So it's not even the gross. So even when Prabhu talks about the gross, it's actually you have to match the subtle to actually even get to that point. You know what I'm saying? So that means is, but then that basis is on the transcendental. You know what I'm saying? So therefore, couples working on either the emotional or on the spiritual, then it's a matter, one, the emotional is a matter if they want a kid. On the spiritual, it's a matter as grihasthas, that's what grihasthas do, they have kids. It's part of the scene. So if they have the facility of this and that, why wouldn't they have kids? You know what I'm saying? But it's not about the attraction to sex life. It's a matter of that's how it makes it work. That's how you get those kind of personalities. Right? You understand? How do you get people like Yudhishthira? Because, you know, the mother is right down when it comes to sex and is really into it and really this is, she really is, you know. No. It's because it's a matter of this is duties. That's how you get people like Yudhishthira. So we're thinking, we're going to, you know, just get into this, you know, with all, you know, lust, anger, and greed, and then we're going to end up with saints. It's not. So that's the whole point, is that, you know, the point is that you want cats and dogs, and you it's simple. Like a cat and dog, you have cat and dogs. Humans have humans. Demigods have demigods.
right? Saintly persons have saintly persons. Does that make sense? So that's the whole principle. It's just a matter of gradual elevation. So according to your conditioning, which works better for you? The field of attachment or the field of detachment? That's all. Does that make sense? The field of detachment is easier because you're less involved. That's why it's recommended. But when we get to the spiritual world, who's not married? In Braj, who's not married? That's the point. You understand? In Vaikuntha, there may be some saints that say, but they're always generally in Shantaras. Mm-hmm. But they might not be. Like Hanuman's not, but you know, he's not married.
Narad Muni.
So there's a few. But most are all married. Is that what I'm saying? So that's there. Because in Vaikuntha, conjugal rasa is not prominent. So even if they're married, but it's all about doing service. Does that make sense?
In Vrindavan, conjugal rasa is not prominent.
Yeah, but it's not about sex. That's this side. Therefore, the term linga and yogi. That makes sense? When you come here, then that becomes prominent. Right? So here is the second face of Prajapati that's prominent. In the spiritual world, it's the first face. Does that make any sense? No? The problem is if you wonder how, you won't be able to understand how. The point is there is such a thing as the individual is interesting. There it's the affection for Krishna is expressed through the conjugal, but it's the love for Krishna that is your primary element. Then it has the specific of Braj, then of that full surrender, pure unalloyed. In other words, devotion to the Lord is the prominent. Then of that is pure unalloyed devotion. Then of that it's the conjugal relationship. So it's only a medium. Okay, just like this. Let us say, give an example. You know, the guy gives some flowers to the girl, okay? And why does he do that? Okay, I do affection, right? So is it about the flowers?
No.
Okay, so in the same way is the conjugal level of husband, man and woman can interact, and it's not about the sex life. The sex life may be the medium. It's not the primary. Just like the flower is not the medium. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So it's like that. Okay?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, in order to award the highest benefit of human life, the Varnashram system trains the follower to adopt the vow of celibacy, beginning from the order of Brahmachari. The Brahmachari life is for students who are educated to follow strictly the vow of celibacy. Youngsters who have had no taste of sex life can easily follow the vow of celibacy, and once fixed in the principle of such a life, one can very easily continue to the highest perfectional stage, attaining the kingdom of the three-fourths energy of the Lord. So in other words, there's no taste, there's not an interest in it. I remember Prabhupada's Ayurvedic doctor, he was one day talking about how when he was a kid, kid means in Vedic, the Vedic context, you're not married, you're a kid. So he just got married, so whatever age that was. So he had already done his, medical and everything like that. It's his, father coming in the line of Vaidyas. So his father's, their Vaidyas are practicing. So he would have learned all that. Then, Brahmin families, the Sri Vaishnavas, very strict, very traditional. you know, he'd wear the big tilak and everything, you know. So then he said when he got married, then, you know, he thought it was great, you know, him and his wife, they'd hang out and talk and do this and that. But because they'd been brought up in such a pure environment, they had no idea that there was such a thing as sex. So therefore, as boy and girl, they just, you know, the energy, they're just attracted by the energy. So they hang out, they were the best of friends when they were together. One day his father had to call him over and said, hey, your wife. You know, and explain, you know, that there's a thing, kids, this, that, you know, so it's like, oh. So in other words, such a relationship would be able to last throughout the whole life. Does that make sense? So someone like that then can very easily go back to Godhead, because the interest in sex life here isn't there. So therefore, one can be interested in the transcendental relationship. So relationship becomes the main thing. That's the principle you want to start with. That's what we're trying to learn. Right? Rather than just interaction of dravya with dravya. Right? I think that's basically, I think that's what Sutta Goswami uses. He's like, you pick up, if I pick up this, and you know, on the wall, you know. That's what you're dealing with. That's factually mundane sex life. Dead matter interacting with dead matter. So, therefore, you know, you're working at these. In other words, going from the emotional to the spiritual would be easier than going from the gross to the spiritual. You have to become aware that the subtle exists. Until you understand that the swargiya rasa exists, generally, it's very hard to maintain relationships, right? But the real platform is aprakrita, in other words, transcendental rasa.
Sounds like some concept.
Yeah, that's very far away. I remember that when they first. You know, gotten the bus going down the road like that, you know, Rita and Anamaraj and them. And then I asked one of, you know, I forget what it was, I think Veer Krishnamaraj, you know, what's because everyone's dressed differently, you know, so what's Rita and Anamaraj? Oh, he's sannyas. What is sannyas? It means no sex. I was thinking, wow, it's just like, it was like this, you've just been given a glimpse into like eternity or something. So, wow, what's that? If you got a glimpse like that, then you got to start. Yeah, there's a chance. But until you understand that it's there, even though it may seem impossible, you know. But then you got a chance. I got a shot. Yes.
On the point of the relationship, we spoke with one Indian lady. She was probably over 60 years old, and she never saw her husband before the wedding ceremony.
Yeah.
So I asked her, you know, how you stayed together? And she just laughed at me, because they were living in London. And she said, you people start from 100% and drop down to zero and there is a divorce. We started from zero and just build it up.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Because it was a famous statement. It says, one man, it's the same point. It says, in the West, you marry the girl you love. In India, we love the girl we marry. That's the thing, is because you're starting from there, it can go down to zero. You know, you fall in love, you fall out of love. But here it's like, because the point is that all the interesting things happen before you're married.
Yeah.
So that means when you get married, what's the uniqueness of it other than commitment? But you had to be committed before also if you wanted to make it work. So there's nothing actually added. But in the Vedic, then everything starts from within. You get to know them, that, you know, the first touch, yes. It all happens within. So then it becomes special. Yes. Well, the other one, it kind of has its specialness, at least the first one. You know, but after 20, 30, I'm kind of losing something there, you know, like that. So that's the whole thing. The Shastra mentions the girl always remembers the first boy. So therefore, if the first boy is her husband, then it works.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it's a science, but it's like, yeah, so it's a good point. Yeah, I like that. Start from 100% and go down to
can
zero.
Can only go one way.
Restart from zero and go up to 100%. Very good. Very good. Okay? Okay.
It is already explained that in the cosmos of three-force energy of the Lord, there is neither death nor fear, and one is full of the blissful life of happiness and knowledge. A householder attached to family life can easily give up such a life of sex indulgence if he has been trained in the principles of the life of a brahmachari. Right? Notice here he's mentioning death and fear is connected, because the point is as soon as there's sex, then there's fear. Because then there's attachment, and then there's attachment means loss. Right? And then loss then generates anger. Right? And also it means, if you look at it, technically speaking, sex means that your the whole body, according to Ayurveda, the whole body, you have ojas that pervades the whole body. That's what keeps everything working. So if you want to produce another life form, therefore you need to take some of that ojas, and that's what's put together to create the next life form. Right? So that means you're removing some of that from your body to produce the next. Means you don't get, if you want 100 rupees worth of goods, you have to pay 100 rupees. So if you want life, you have to give life. Does that make sense? So that means that brings you closer to death. Right? That's just how it works. That's the mechanics of it. You know, we don't necessarily talk about that much, but that's the point. That's why you can say fear and death come along with sex life. So that's why one has to learn to become detached from it. Otherwise, then one remains here. You know, with fear and death as your companion. You know, in Braj, then the flute is the favorite attendant. We'll come up with that from verse 56. And then here, then it's, you know, fear and death, you know, are our constant companions.
Very faithful.
They're always there for us. Yeah. You know, they're always there for us.
As sure as death.
Yeah, yes, yes. The problem is his taxes are also there. Okay.
They bring you close to death. Hmm? They bring you close to death.
Yeah, also. Right. They generate fear. Yeah, so they're also a good support. Okay. A householder is recommended to quit home at the age of 50 years. Pancha shordvam vanam vrajet. And live a life in the forest. Right? So home means, what does that mean, home?
Grihastha.
Right, grihastha is home. Brahmachari lives in a room. Vanaprastha lives in a room. Sannyasa lives in a room. It's not home. It's simply an ashram. Right? So while grihastha, then that home is, you know, that ashram is a home. So a home is something you develop, you expand, you generate, you, like that. Does that make sense? Improve. So that means vanaprasthas, they don't do that. Yes.
Can we say home is a comfort zone?
Yes, home is a comfort zone.
So out of comfort zone means outside.
But it just means home is comfort zone because there's the option of expanding it, developing it. Vanaprastha means you're functioning on the brahmachari and sannyas definition of comfort, means not uncomfortable.
But not expanding.
Not expanding. Means, in other words, if this kind of pillow works, you just use that pillow. You don't keep going and checking out pillows and trying to find a better pillow and having a few of them because you're not sure which pillow. You know, it's just that pillow works, and that it's going to work. If it worked today, it's still going to work after 20 years. Okay, maybe you need a new one by then, but the principle of it works. You know.
So the comfort zone is Krishna.
The comfort zone is Krishna, and therefore it's just what situation is non-distracting. So in other words, if it's comfortable, you know, in the, you know, how you say, the materialistic sense, it's distracting. If it's uncomfortable, it's a distracting, right? But you put it at the neutral state. It's not comfortable, it's not uncomfortable.
So therefore, it's no distraction. So what do you think about it? Right? If my situation is comfortable, what am I thinking about?
Comfort,
right? Now, if it's uncomfortable, what am I thinking about? The uncomfortable, right? So I'm thinking of one or the other. So where's the time for Krishna? So that recommended position is neutral. It's not uncomfortable. It's not comfortable either. It's not uncomfortable. So we're defining it doesn't disturb you. So what's the simplest that doesn't disturb you? That position, then you're not going to think about it. Why? Because that, you just do that. And so then you think of Krishna. That's the position we're talking about.
Yes.
So that's what we're trying to get to. Okay. Quit home at the end of 50 years and live a life in the forest. Then, being fully detached from family affection, he may accept the order of renunciation as sannyasi, fully engaged in the service of the Lord. Notice, and live in the forest. Then sannyas. So that means that the vanaprastha is basically living just like sannyasa's brahmachari life, but now you're independent rather than as a brahmachari. You're living under the direct management of the guru. The other one is you're living under the direction of the guru, but you're doing it yourself. So vanaprastha means living brahmachari life with the wife, basically. So that's all it is. And so then you can either continue like that or taking sannyas, fully detached, he may accept the order of sannyas. So that means it's actual, the formal rite of passage of sannyas, so he's not with the wife anymore, or husband and wife come to that principle of sannyas and how they're doing things. Does that make sense? But the point is that sannyas must be obtained, whatever is the best way to obtain it. That's what it must be there. Does that make sense? So if one's already doing that as a brahmachari, when he goes into grihastha life, he's still doing it, and then still doing it, and then, you know, it's done. It's very easy. But if not, then each one gives a little bit more facility to, you know, hopefully by the end you figure it out. And if not, then, of course, one doesn't have to worry. Then you can take birth again and try again. And therefore, if at first you don't succeed, then...
Yes. So we're talking about the mentality of sannyasa.
It's the mentality. The whole thing is mentality. See, it's because we identify with the gross. Therefore, it's put in terms of the gross. But its actual principle is simple. Right? In other words, the gross is an extension of the subtle. And the subtle is an extension of the spiritual. So actually what we're trying to get is the spiritual change of consciousness. If you do that, automatically you've changed the subtle and the gross. But if we're unaware of it, then we start with these lower ones. Just like the new person, the new bhakti who comes into the temple. They don't necessarily know all these subtleties, so they wash the pots. By doing that, they're doing it for Krishna. You try to teach them to do it nicely for Krishna. And then their heart becomes purified. Then, after 6 months, they're able to understand the finities, you know, of initiation, you know, relationship, all these things, order of the spiritual, all these things. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So that's the point. That's why there's service is done. You're starting on the physical. You don't even get involved in other things. After that, then you can get something involved. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So that's the concept. You know, the best is to start from subtle, and then you don't have to worry about start from spiritual, you don't have to worry about subtle growth. Like the gopis, they just heard about Krishna, saw Krishna, and that was it. So you don't have to worry about the subtle growth, because then the subtle is their, you know, subtle mind, that spiritual mind, spiritual senses, spiritual intelligence, spiritual identity. And the gross is their spiritual body.
Yeah.
So it works out. Okay. That's it. Okay. Okay. And he may accept the order of renunciation as a sannyasi fully engaged in the service of the Lord. So the full engagement is what you're trying to get to. Any form of religious principles in which the followers are trained to pursue the vow of celibacy is good for the human being, because only those who are trained in that way can end the miserable life of material existence. So the idea of celibacy is good. This idea is that, you know, it's bogus. you know, or it's a sham. Or, but then the point is the kid. He's standing out there on the sidewalk, right? Got on his knee pads and elbow pads and helmet. Can he ride a bicycle?
Not necessarily.
No. So then why are we imitating? Why are we, you know, not, why are we doing this, you know, imposition on this kid? Why don't we be thoroughly honest and say, kid, you're a loser. You can't ride a bicycle.
Because he's never going to learn like that.
Right, that's the whole point. So the thing is if you're not trained in celibacy, even if you're not celibate by mentality, with the training is always good. Now then you apply it, that's when you'll get your benefit. So then to drop this whole thing, we don't need brahmacharya ashram, it's all a hoax anyway, is totally bogus. That's the mentality of demons. Right? So, devotees having that mentality are never demons, it's demon-esque. But the point is it's not valuable for human life. It is a mentality of animals. Therefore, it has to be given up. There has to be training. Because otherwise, by dropping that, then you're going to have, you know, boys and girls when they're 5 and 6 years old are going to be parents.
Yes.
That meant when they were 4 and 5, they had sex.
Girls who can't even spell mama. Having babies.
Yeah. So the whole point is that's the end game of contemporary values.
Forgive me if it's a little bit off the point, but what if we...
As long as it's not visual.
I deserve that one. if we bring in qualities of the karmis, and we're talking about how to deal with society and these things, because you're saying that if, let's say, the brahmacharis have faults, then, oh, what's the use of the training, and so
mm-hmm.
on.
Mm-hmm.
So then if we bring in, isolate single qualities of the karmis and bring them in and say, we should learn from that, is that a similar mentality?
It's not. I mean, it's better because you're looking at what will you bring in? You'll bring in an inferior or a superior quality. Wow, that guy is just
management.
So lusty. We got to learn from this.
No, that's
like that. You know, it's just like, you know, he's our devotees are so picky about which girl, you know, like that. It's hard to get him married. But look at this guy. Any girl will do. We should learn from this guy.
Yeah, that's no.
No, you're not talking. No. So that means, so in other words, we're bringing in superior qualities. Mm-hmm. Who's the superior qualities? Krishna. So in other words, it is a step forward. The mistake is thinking that the karmi has it.
Mm. Yes.
No karmi, no non-devotee has any good quality. Why? It's borrowed. So why will I learn from the guy who's borrowed? That means there's the guy who owns the Rolls Royce. Right? His first car was a Rolls Royce with a chauffeur. So will I learn about Rolls Royces from him, or about the guy who's renting it just because he wants to impress some friends, you know, or he's renting it to go to the prom?
First guy.
Okay, so that's the point is therefore, if you see a good quality in the non-devotee, the point is that means that quality exists, that is Krishna's quality, that means it naturally exists in Krishna's culture. Because the spiritual world means it's based on all the good qualities. So then, where is that in our tradition? Okay, if you don't know, or you don't even think like that, because you don't have really much of a cultural, you know, eclectic cultural background, fair enough. So, you start there. But to think that the karmi is the one who has it is still Krishna. Then the problem is you'll pick up it. You'll pick up that good quality like they have, but you'll use it like they do, not like we do. If you want to pick up the good quality and use it like we'll use it, then you have to learn it from the devotees, from Krishna. But the point is that in the 11th canto, that python sage who had 22 gurus. Now, most of those gurus weren't devotees. So the point is, you can learn, but he's seeing it on that transcendental platform. So there is, that's the quality, and here's an application that is useful for me to learn from.
Yes.
So it's not that we can't learn from them, but why can we learn from them? Because it's Krishna's potency, it's Brahman that's pervading them, it's Paramatma who's pervading, therefore we can learn.
And we're at,
it's not that they as a karmi we can learn from. So when you say we can learn from the karmis, what's the intent of that? Is it that we can, so at the same time we can learn, if it's like this, can we learn from the karmis? Okay, how do you deal with all living entities? So if you deal equipoise, that means then you can learn from the karmis, because you see it as the Lord's qualities. But if you say we can learn from the karmis, but you know, I like this guy and this group of people I don't like and this and that, you can't learn from the karmis. In other words, you have a conditioning that nature connects with yours. That's the only reason you can get it, is because of the karma. So you're only seeing it because that's inherent in you. So now it's just you never noticed it or never cultivated it. Now you'll see it, you'll cultivate it. So even then, it's still the modes of nature. No, so we're interested in qualities that aren't the modes of nature. So, true, but you have to know the subtleties, otherwise you will be misled.
So better learn from Bhagavatam.
You know, so it's like this. Be free, do what you want. Why you have to be restricted by wearing devotional clothes? But then be free, do what you want. I'm wearing the devotional clothes, I go out on the street, I don't care what people think.
Okay.
No, but you should care. You're working in their society. Then where's freedom in the society? You understand? So freedom means free from Vedic restrictions or whatever I consider as restriction. No, freedom means being able to follow those restrictions. Who's free? The guy who's smoking or the guy who, his own commitment, he's decided not to smoke? That means he was a smoker. He could smoke, but he's not smoking. He's the one that's free. That's the whole point. So that's ignorance. Ignorance turns reality around. That's why Prabhupada opened with the thing of facts. They can't even see the facts, let alone existence of it. Right? So that's the whole thing. That's where Shankarshan starts, the facts. You know. Then you get the existence. Because otherwise, if you can't see facts, how do you know existence?
The facts of death and fear.
No. Well, I mean, that's there, but I mean, the facts in this case is just what it is. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. You know, it's just like, you know, what are you looking at? You know, it's like we're looking at the Rolls Royce. What is it? You know, handmade, you know, basically rubber, metal, plastic, and throw in some other natural things, some wood or some leather. But that's only superficial. But underneath, it's all just rubber and metal and plastic. You know what I'm saying? So what's the uniqueness? The finishing is good. The finishing is special. So that's the... You know what I'm saying?
In this environment, it's then how it functions in the environment.
Yeah, what each thing does, you know, what the door does, what's the purpose of the door, how you open the door.
Mm-hmm.
You know. Right?
I was thinking it's a rule.
That means you stand there for the moment and the doorman opens the door, right? You don't reach your hand out, otherwise he thinks, well, he wants to open the door, so then he doesn't. So you come up to the door and stop, then the doorman opens the door. That's how you open the door on the rolls. So you need proper knowledge, right?
Training.
Huh? Training. Self-control. It's just like this. It says the guy is sitting on his side of the car, right? He gets out. He has to run around to the lady's side of the car and open the door. She could easily open the door and get out.
She's not in the car.
Yeah, but the point is, so to sit there while you're doing that, it means sense control.
Mm-hmm.
So then it makes it look like, oh, these ladies are artificial, while the girl that's there in her cowboy boots and everything, she can't wait. She would not be able to wait.
That's why she has to open the door. But the point is, if she opens the door, then where's the excuse for interaction, the relationship? Mm. Right? Plus, you can see if the guy's healthy enough to run. You know, if he gets around to the back, you know, has tail light and then has to lean on it and wheeze a bit, then she may think about, you know, whether she wants to continue this program. Yeah. Yeah, plus when he gets around, does he still look good or does he look disheveled? So there's a lot of things you can tell from this.
Learn
so, yeah, so I'm saying it's like, who's smart? Like that. That's the thing is that, but the point is if someone doesn't have that kind of nature, then to open your own door is fine. In other words, what it is that you don't have to think about, that you just do according to your nature, that's the natural position. So to criticize the other one, no, it's just that's the different nature. Dogs don't fly. What's the use of a dog? You know? The guy came into your house, ran off with the stuff. The dog has to chase him. He goes through the gate, closes the door. If the dog could fly, then they're never going to get away. Can you get away from a flying dog?
No.
No, okay. So that's it. Yeah. So then that's the whole point.
Yeah.
So I don't find fault. That's why Varnashram said, you know what nature is. You have an extended problem then. Then the dog would pass urine on top of the fire hydrant rather than on the side of it.
Yes.
Yeah, we may have to rethink the theory here.
Also, keeping them out of campus would be a problem.
Yeah, also, yeah. And then the guards would have to be able to fly.
Yeah. Flying guards.
The principle of nirvana, as recommended by Lord Buddha, are also meant for ending the miserable life of material existence. And this process, in the highest degree, is recommended here in the Srimad Bhagavatam. So it's the same process, just in its highest degree. So what any religious principle is following is there, but it's just in the highest, Bhagavatam is giving the highest form of religion. We're not saying that the others aren't religion, just this is the highest form.
Yes.
With clear perception of ideal perfection, although basically there is no difference between the process of Buddhists, Shankarites, and Vaishnavites, right, in the getting out of the material world,
yes.
Right? Because that's what we're discussing. So they're all talking about celibacy, removing oneself from the material entanglement. Now, once you get out, that's where the difference comes. The one goes into darkness, one merges into light, and then we keep going to the spiritual planets. That's kind of what happens.
Yeah.
For promotion to the highest status of perfection, namely freedom from birth and death, anxiety and fearfulness, not one of these processes allows the follower to break the vow of celibacy. Right?
Yes.
So that has to be maintained.
Yes.
That's the householders and... here it's on the hour, not the 10 minutes after.
Yes.
Okay. So we'll leave this paragraph for later.
Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Jai Srila Prabhupada ki.
Jai
Samaveta Bhaktivrinda ki.
Jai.
Jai Nitai Gaura Prema.
I'll try and be less graphic in the future.
Help. But 9, so okay. 3 days. Basically 3 days to finish. Then we have how many more?
4, 10. Ten. Yeah.
Four more chapters. Yeah. 9 chapters.
Yeah. Well, no, what's this?
I think the whole thing is like that. Not giving you more.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, but if you do it at 3, then it's 10. Right?
Yeah, we do 3 pages a day. It's still 10 classes.
Just
10 minutes. Stop.
We haven't had so many issues this year, have we?
This year's been minimal. He's been involved in two
laughs.
We need a flatter rock. Or smaller.
Yeah, that'll work.
Okay. You don't want to go for 4? It's difficult. It's a significant difference.
But still, there's something in 3.
Yeah, no, that's true.
What do you mean by time? There's no time now, but if you have a quick question, if it's something lengthy, then no.
It's linked to what you were speaking. I think it was a very interesting discussion because I've been thinking about these things very deeply, like for quite some 1 or 2 years.
Okay.
Yeah. So, as I asked you, how can one remain a celibate, because that is like my...
No, but celibate doesn't
mean... Single.
Are you talking about man or woman?
A woman.
A woman means then you have to connect to some... that Krishna is the man.
Yeah, that's
very good. But the point is that's your option.
Yeah. Do you think I could do that?
Anybody can do it, because everybody's soul is serving the Krishna.
Yeah. But I just don't know how to do that, because...
It's just for me to say you want to talk things, you talk to him.
That's so simple?
Yeah, that's simple. But at the same time, understand that he's independent. Mm. So never think he actually is under your control.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because my Guru Maharaj is, I know he wants all the women to be married. His female disciples wants all these female disciples.
Yeah, so I'm saying that's also, one can remain celibate married also. That's just the point is that the principle of celibacy means one's not engaging in sex unless it's for appropriate purpose.
Yeah, well, it's very difficult to find such a man.
Yeah, but that might be easier. It means if you're saying that Krishna's the husband is too advanced, so therefore your next option is finding a man who's like who's good. You know, and then next down from that is any bozo, whatever.
Yes. Yeah, because I was married like 22 years, and that was like, you know, we found each other before I found Krishna consciousness, and then I kind of developed on that.
Yeah, but
but he didn't.
Yeah, so then you have to find someone within Krishna consciousness.
But then I read Prabhupada's books, and then it says a woman should have one man in her life.
The point is that's there. But the point is that's the proper thing. But then the point is that one man ultimately should be Krishna.
Uh-huh.
You know, so either you get back together with the first person, or you find some person that you can work with.
Yeah. Somehow I feel that it would be very like beneficial for me to learn how to develop a spiritual relationship.
Yes, so then you find something like that. Just know that if you walk into a family that's already existing, right? In other words, if there's children and there's already friends and family scene and all that, you're walking in as a remarried woman. It means you're walking into an existing scene that you're supposed to support.
Yeah.
It's not like a first married woman who creates the scene.
Yeah, yeah.
Then it can
work. Yeah, I mean, there's not a tinge of Sanskrit gratification in a relationship, in a companionship.
That's there. Sense gratification means it has to be based on the higher principles. You know, in other words, the senses are engaged but based on that connection with Krishna. Like that. It's not that you're not eating nicely or things like that.
No, I didn't mean that.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, Maharaj.